Okay, we continue in the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Volvavi. We're on page Kuf Mem Zayin, towards the bottom of the page. We're talking about wholesome service to Hashem, and talking about serving Hashem for the sake of Hashem and not for other ulterior motives, as that is the fourth step of what it means to be a Jew after a person is aware that Hashem exists, tries to emulate his behaviors, tries to love Hashem. Now comes this next step of serving Hashem lishma, for the sake of Hashem wanting him to do it and not for other reasons. So included in that is the next step. The Mesillas Yesharim continues, v'nichlol b'zeh, and included in this, she'alibo shalim b'avoda, v'lo kiposech al shtei hasipim, that one's heart should be wholesome in one's service, and that one should not be considered like one who is jumping in between the branches. It's a famous statement that Eliyahu said to the Jewish people. He said, how long will you be jumping between two branches? In other words, you know, it's on and off. Or, that's one problem of not being doing things lishma for the sake of Hashem. Or, if people do things robotically, they do it out of habit. Habitual Judaism is also going to take away from doing it for the sake of heaven. Rather, your whole heart has to be given over to the service of Hashem. And now the Bavavi will explain these two points. In reality, we all are jumping in between the two branches. What are the two branches? We're jumping between one point of doing it for the sake, a certain point of doing it for the sake of Hashem, and then we go to another point of not doing it for the sake of Hashem. The goal is to get to 100% lishma. But that's not going to come until Mashiach comes. And now he says that's a deeper meaning. It's to this point. We yearn when we say, I believe completely in the Mashiach. It's coming, and I wait for him every day. I wait for him to come. He explains, "Einenu mitzapim shiyavo eize odom roichav chamor v'yira mikoved." It's not that we're just looking forward; we're anxiously waiting for a person becoming riding on a donkey, and we'll be afraid of his honor. No, mitzapim anu la'emes hapnimis shemashiach igala. We are yearning for the inner truth the Mashiach will reveal, and that inner truth. And I was going to ask, on Kuf Mem Ches, Mahi Osa Emes Pnimis, what is this inner truth? He answers, Shadam Poel Pu'ula V'ein Lo Shum Matara Bepula Rak L'Shem L'Shemayim. An inner truth means when a person does an activity and there's no other goal to the activity, only he's doing it for the sake of God. 100%. Now, Lomer Zos Gam Ani V'Atem Yichom. We can each say that we serve Hashem 100%. But to actually live this way, and to be honest about it, Zel Ora Shel Mashiach, that is the light of Mashiach. Ora Shel Mashiach, who? The light of Mashiach is, as the prophet explains, Emes Me'eretz HaTitzmach, where truth will grow out of the earth. Emes in Yonah She'odom Oyses Ma'asel V'Kavon Achas Bovad. The truth means that a person does something with only one intention, only one reason, to do it for the sake of God. It's very easy to say you're doing that. But it's very hard to set this out as the way you really live your life every day. That's the battle of life. To move away another spark of shalolishma from the soul. And to reveal another spark of lishma, doing for the sake of Hashem that's in the soul. That's what the game of life is all about. And so this is the vacillation. We vacillate now between doing it for the sake of Hashem and doing it for other reasons. All kinds of reasons. Honor, etc., etc. but to bring it only for Hashem, that's what the Mashiach's time is all about. So till then, we try to, you know, up the percentages as much as possible. Okay. After the stars. Amnam. Calls a Shaykh, Bishash Adam Poel. Now, he's going to say a very important point in this next page or so. Calls a Shaykh, Bishash Adam Poel, Mitach Mudas Atzmis Lamasov. All this can only happen. It's only applicable if when a person does things, he does them with an inner awareness of his actions. Then it's possible that a person can do something lishma. And he also can live with the reality of shalolishma. Lidugma, for example. A person is going in a particular place. So we ask him, why are you doing this? Why are you going there? He says with a full mouth, you know, I'm going there. And he lets me. I'm worrying about myself. It's nothing to do with Hashem. It's all about me. Adam kazel lepachas muda lemania masav. At least such a person is aware of what is pushing his actions. What's motivating him? Avol beemes rova olam olsim es masem kemitzas anashim ulamoda. And that's why he's bringing in the second point of the Mesillas Yesharim. First, he says not to vacillate. Either you're going to vacillate or you're going to do things out of habit. He says that's the problem because most people do things out of habit. If we would test out what are they aware, their awareness factor, if we would really dig in and start asking the guy, and the guy would stop and think and answer what he's rising to do it, he would really find out that he's doing things shalolishma, not for the sake of Hashem. But here's the problem. But in their minds, they're not thinking either way. They're not thinking if they're not doing a lishma or they are doing lishma. They're not even thinking. They don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. And that's the biggest problem of robotic observance of Judaism. When you do things out of habit, you ask a person, why did you just do what you do? The guy says, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Why did you do what you just did? So the guy says, I just do it because I do it. I've been doing it the last 30 years. That's why I do it. Right? Stop a person and stop for a second. Say, why don't you put on your tefillin? This guy says, what do you mean? Because Hashem said I have to. But why are you doing it? Right? So sometimes a person isn't even thinking why he's putting on tefillin, why he's doing many things in life. Adam Kamba Boka Rosa Asaki. Person gets up in the morning and gets involved in some thing, you know, things that he's doing. He's at all not even thinking he's doing it for the sake of heaven or not for the sake of heaven. He's doing it because that's what he's in habit to do. Zoe Suras Chaim Shel Milumoda. That is what it means when a person is doing mitzvahs anoshim milumoda. He's just doing it because that's what he did the day before and the day before that. Imbono liskor es roba masim shenasim olam. If we would try to evaluate most of the activities that are done in the world, heim lo begeder lishma v'lo begeder shel shalishma. They're not in the category of lishma or shel lishma. Heim pashat nasim b'choser simas lev. They're simply done without anybody thinking, without much thought. Now, of course, you're thinking, you know, to direct yourself how to do it, but you're not thinking of why you're doing it. You should stop yourself during the day from time to time and say, well, why am I doing what I'm doing? And you know, why you're really doing what you're doing. Right? Yeshna she'elu yedush ha'shoyim ha'paro melech Mitzrayim. Okay, this next piece is a little bit, you know, I've read it a few times. I'm struggling trying to understand you'll see. There's a famous question that's asked on Paro, the king of Egypt. Shekadosh Baruch Hu nasan lo od maka v'od maka. Hashem punishes him one plague after another plague after another plague. Malchoshav, what was he thinking? What was he thinking after the eighth plague already? And his whole country's been destroyed. And, you know, was this bad luck? So what was he thinking? Hayim lo hevin shel Kadosh Baruch Hu yishkach. Didn't he understand by now that Hashem has power? Vada Shavin certainly understood it. Im came Mahu Khashav, so what was he thinking? What was he thinking after every plague? So Venemra Bazet Shuva Mukad Mod, I'm gonna say a very deep answer, but he says it in very few words. He says, Paro Ba'emes Lo Khashav, Paro wasn't thinking. Okay, what's his proof? Well, If he was thinking, he wouldn't be acting this way. The way he was acting. After a certain amount of plagues already, you know what? Just let him go already. Just let him go already. Rakachare Esther Makos Hischolachshov Lifnake Lachshov. Only after the 10th plague did he begin to start thinking. Lifnakein Ulochashav. Before that he wasn't thinking at all. Okay, now this is the next line that's tricky. I mean, he has to prove this, and I don't know if there's sufficient wording in the next couple words to prove all that. He says, Yesh ba'aya, there are problems. I guess if there are problems, post from, we try to solve the problems. Niftara ba'aya, if you solve the problem, hu lo chashav, he doesn't think, oz ma'iya achrei kein, what's going to happen afterwards? Hu lo chashav, he wasn't thinking. So I don't understand.
I think what he's saying is the ba'aya, the problem was the plague. The problem was the plague. Instead of thinking
yeah,
he's going to be ahead, he's going to get rid of this plague.
Yeah, but what's his proof to say that?
No,
he hasn't proved that, and he's not going to prove it. He's not going to prove it. He says there's a problem. Let's solve the plague, and let's move on to the next one. If you would have thought, come to the conclusion, 1, 2, 3 times, there's a chazak over here. There's an element of truth here. Tavin she'ein imilas vakech. You have to understand this. There's no one to discuss issues with. Imayach Hashem was thinking, Mishalach was Nisrael Kfar Kodem. He would have sent the Jewish people far away. You know, with all due respect to this holy rabbi, I don't see it. I don't see a proof. I mean, he was such a Meiridik Balgaiva. He had everything at stake. People just don't admit to the truth. You can think about it. There is a God. He's powerful, but I don't want to give up being the king of Egypt. You know, and that's the whole idea of hardening his heart. Gave him the strength to withstand this. Yeah, there's a God. Many times people, they understand, yeah, there's a God, but I still don't want to submit to him.
I can see what he's saying. Hashem strengthened his heart, but he didn't do anything to his mind. He's saying Par was a brilliant man. He's not bringing a proof except interpreting the actions.
I don't see it as a proof.
If he had thought things through, just the whole story he's saying is a proof. If he had thought things through, he would realize there's no end to this. He didn't stop with the first plague. He didn't stop with the second plague. He didn't stop with the third plague. He's not going to stop. But he never let himself think. Instead, he went with his gaiva, his emotions. Yeah. Hashem strengthened those emotions.
Yeah, so if a person has gaiva,
he's proving he didn't think. If he would have thought, it couldn't be that he would have just let it go on 10 plagues. He just never stops to think, and you don't see that he stops.
Torah doesn't tell us ever when anybody's thinking. It doesn't tell us when Avram's thinking, when Yitzchak's thinking. It doesn't tell us when anybody's thinking. So you can't.
He's
you know,
the whole story.
I understand, but there's a lot of times people they're thinking and they said, "I know what the truth is, and I don't want to come to terms with it." That's all. You could say they are irrationally thinking. That I would say, but to say wasn't it? No, but he's thinking. He's saying, "I know. Listen, there's a power, there's a God, and I will not submit to it. Finished. I'd rather die." Many times, people would rather let their families fall apart than get help. You don't think they think about it, but they think that my ego is too important that nobody should know that things are going terrible in this house, and I'll destroy my kids for myself. You know, many times you see people doing that. You know. They're thinking, they're just not thinking the way they should be thinking, because they got something else in their mind. I'm sure, you know, it's too difficult to say that Paro wasn't thinking about what's gonna happen. But a person can have tremendous ego, and the ego will not allow him to accept any other thing but what's going on over here. Everybody told him it was Hashem. Even his own people said it's Hashem, right? So go, he says, so it's Hashem. I will not submit to Hashem. Whatever Hashem does, I choose not to submit to Hashem. I don't want to submit to Hashem. I am Hashem. You're going to say he was being irrational, I'll agree. But that doesn't mean he wasn't thinking. He says, there is a God who's destroying my country, but I will not under any... What person who doesn't stop smoking even though he has cancer? He's saying, I understand it's giving, but I can't stop. I can't stop. I understand it's killing me. How many people eat foods they shouldn't be eating? It's because they're not thinking. They know. They're thinking. They understand. I know it's going to get me fat. I know it shouldn't get me fat. But I'll tell you what. I'm a big Baltaiva, and I enjoy chocolate. Finished. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. And I'm thinking, but I don't want to give up this pleasure. I'd rather be have the pleasure right now. And the person knows very well he's getting fatter. He's getting fatter. And still eating. It's thinking, but not thinking. Not following through on one's thinking. That's all. I mean, Paro was not a fool. And that's what I think is important. He was not a fool. He was a very clever man. And so brilliant people will not agree to being wrong. That doesn't mean they're not thinking. You know, don't you realize your credit's going to go down? He says, let it go down. Let it go down. Better that than me submitting. He knows what's going on. It's not rational, but that doesn't mean he's not thinking. You can think not rationally. You see this all the time. You sit a person and says, don't you realize what you're doing? He says, I don't care. I don't want people, it happens all the time. I don't want people to think.
It's not proof for either way.
So I'm saying it's not a proof either way. It's not a proof either way.
It's a valid theory. It's a
theory, but I can't accept that as total. You know, he wants to say that, you know, but I don't, it's a theory, but I don't say it's a hard proof to that. I wouldn't say it's a hard proof, but okay. That's what he's saying. You can either accept it or not. Yeah.
How much of this was, Pharaoh's doing, and how much was it Hashem orchestrating it? Because we said after every plague that said, Hashem hardened.
Not after everyone. Not until the sixth one.
Well,
so the rabbis give us an explanation. What it means, harden his heart, the simple explanation is, usually if a person is beaten up, they finally submit. You know, if a person keeps beating you up, you know, you're having a brawl between two guys. And one guy wants to kill the other guy, but the other guy's much stronger than him. He beats him up. He's almost dead. And the guy, one more punch, he's dead. The guy says, I give up only because I don't have the strength to go on.
Right.
Most times people give up. It's not because they want to give up. It's they've been beaten into submission. The guy says, say uncle. He doesn't want to say uncle, but if he doesn't say uncle, he's going to get hurt more. He can't take the pain anymore. So Hashem enabled him to take the pain. That's all. If you can keep taking the pain, then you don't have to give in.
So that's what happened then after the sixth.
So, but that wasn't, but it, what his true desire was still able to be expressed and achieved. He didn't want to give in. Hashem gave him the strength to not give in. Maybe we'll give in because they don't have the strength. You're fighting a war, right? You're losing. You've lost the war. And if you know, let's say World War II, the Japanese didn't want to keep fighting. Certainly want to keep fighting. They lost Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What do they have a choice? They're going to fight the next day. They're going to lose Tokyo. They're going to lose it. You've beaten them into submission. They must submit because they cannot. They can't argue with that anymore. But if Hashem says, listen, I'm going to give you the strength to not want to submit, to be able to take this, to take another hit. Shkoyach, but he doesn't mean he wasn't thinking.
After the tenth one, he gave in, finally.
Finally. Finally, he was thinking. And even after the tenth, you want to tell me even after the tenth he was thinking? If you're going to say he wasn't thinking, he's saying he was starting to think, what was he thinking? I know that's what he, just because he says it doesn't mean I have to agree with it. This is not the Ramban talking now. I mean, he's a tzaddik, but he's not the Ramban. If the Ramban would say it, I have to agree to it. I won't understand it. It's no proof to the theory. There's no proof to that. I've seen too many people act exactly like this, and they are thinking. You sit them down, you tell them, look what you're doing. Don't you just say, I see what I'm doing, and I won't give in anyway. So they're thinking. They're thinking that my covet comes before anything. That's what they're thinking. They understand. They understand. They say, don't you understand that, you know, let's say a person's an alcoholic, right? And he said, don't you see what you're doing by drinking? Don't you see? You're destroying your family. Doesn't matter. Don't you see? So he was addicted to COVID.
Okay, so that's the answer.
But doesn't mean they're not thinking.
Fine, but that's the answer.
Okay, so I'm just saying, problem. I'm saying, so he's saying he wasn't thinking. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Over arguing with him.
No, I'm just saying. Anyway, but that's what he's saying. Listen, if I don't agree, I mean,
you don't want to accept the fact that you don't agree.
So that's fine. We're entitled to disagree. Unless, this is such an important point that should have been elaborated on. Tell me. He's just saying, you know, there's certain people who just want to get past this problem. They don't think about what's next. Plenty of people thinking. You ask Obama why he's doing everything. He's thinking good and well. He's doing everything what? Just to get reelected. That's it. He may be making the stupidest ideas. He says, it's very simple. I don't care about the country. I care about one thing, that I should have a legacy. The first black president, who was amazing. This is going to be something for all the blacks in the world. The country's going down the drain. It's going to continue to go down the drain. He's thinking, believe me, he's got millions of advisors advising exactly one thing, how to continue to be the president for the next 4 years and how to go down in history as the greatest man, not caring if when he leaves the place will tank. Now, you could say, what are you thinking about? Don't you know you're going to run out of money one day? How many more things can you be giving away? Right? All these things, but you know, they're thinking for what's good for them. That's all. So anyway, but it's okay. So the tzaddik here is saying he wasn't thinking. Okay. So harezu he kol atzoso. This was his whole idea. Now at this point, we can certainly agree because this is already many greater people prior to him have said this idea. What about in the beginning of the right at the end of this week's parsha? Paro says, after Moshe comes to ask the Jews to leave, he says, "Tichbeid ha'avoda al anoshim, make the work harder on the people, v'yasabo, and have them do it, v'al yishu b'divrei shekher." So they shouldn't have time to think about falseness. In other words, Paro was saying, since when do they have a Jew who's asking them to leave? Must be the work isn't hard enough for them. If the work isn't hard enough for them, give them more work. I don't want them to think of rebelling. Okay, that's different. When you're worked so hard that you have no time to think, that's a different story. So he's saying that was Paro's own philosophy of what how he acted himself. I think that's the opposite. If he knew to do it to others, he'd be careful not to do it to himself. Eitzazu, he gave me p'nimiyasu. This Eitzah, this idea came from his essence. Who yatarud b'niol mamlachto, he was so busy running his country, v'lo chashiv kokavri, he wasn't thinking about it. Kedarcham shel malachim, like the way of kings. They say, imein bayav, there's no problem. Chayim heim es chayim, here go. They live their lives the way they've been living. There's no problems, keep going. Ukeshin is skalim babaya, if there is a problem, donim alelugufa, you just take care of that problem, but not the greater issue. Right. Okay, I agree to the point, I mean, that he worked the Jews hard enough, they didn't have no time to think. So Sherm will say this later himself, when he gets to one of the mitos. He's going to say, you have to have the time to reflect. Paro did not want to give the Jews time to reflect. That's true. If a person has worked that hard that they cannot reflect, yeah, but the problem is after every makkah, Paro had 3 weeks to think it over. So that's the difference. That's why I disagree with that. I mean, I agree with the idea if a person's too busy, has no time to think. I just don't agree that applied to Paro. Betzam kochayenu misnayim v'shitazu. Truth be, our life runs this way. I'll agree. We now are living in Mitzrayim. That I'll agree to. We have so many things we have to do all day long. Personally, you know, it's crazy. You turn around, you may have a minute to think. I got a little spare time. Then you look at your kid's passport because you have to bring their passport because you got to get their OHIP card renewed, right? So now you get, okay, so I got to figure an hour to go to the OHIP office to get it renewed with my kid. I lost 1 hour. But then you look at the passport today and you see it expires December 29th. It says, oh, now I got to renew the passport. Have you renewed a passport lately? You're online, just to fill out the form takes over an hour. You have to be so careful with this and that. And every passport, you know, now you have to have two references. So while you bring that, you got to look up two people's, their addresses and this and that. All this, what for shtunkin' a passport? Right? You know, and that spills into another thing that you forgot to do. You know, if heaven forbid you forgot to have the long form of the birth certificate, then that is like, that's hell on earth, getting the long form of the birth certificate. And it's all, you know, I just finished, who was it? Menachem, I don't know why. I had to change Menachem's, I had to get his passport done. And I forgot what it reminded me of that. And as soon as I finished, I got to work on Baruch's. So it's like, you know, from one thing to the next, you go, oh, finally, I have a little break. You know, somebody cancels an appointment. So, okay, I got a free hour. And all of a sudden, Hashem fills in 3 hours of work to fill in that 1 hour. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Just with the paperwork. You know, it's crazy. So that, you see, Hashem is creating a society in which we're so busy with such things that are narishkeit. But if you don't do them, you can't cross the border. You can't go anywhere. You can't do nothing. It's not like you're even stam wasting your time. God is putting in enough time wasters to fill every minute you have. So that's how people live their lives. Adam Kamba Poker, a person gets up in the morning, who lo choshev ma lo sayom. He doesn't think of what I'm going to do today. If, let's say, God forbid, he's laid off from work, he has no parnasa, who yaschalash, begins to think. Even that I disagree on also. He begins to think. What do you mean he begins to think? He just begins to think how he's going to find another job, which is just part of not thinking again. As long as they don't fire the guy, he doesn't think at all. Okay, so basically what the tzaddik is saying here is that if we want to be able to serve Hashem l'shma, you have to be able to have the time to sit down and ask yourself, am I doing what I'm doing l'shma or not l'shma? You have to have time to introspect on that. If you don't have time to think, you don't even know if you're doing things l'shma or l'shma. How are you ever going to change it? That's the point he's really making over here. Vinei. Everything he's talking about regarding fullness of heart. That the person should have his part of lishma overcome the part that's shalol lishma. That's already the secondary job. But before that, the first job is the person has to identify his life. Like the Ramban writes in his famous letter, he says, "Chashov hadibor kodem shetotzianu mipicha." Think about what you say before it comes out of your mouth. Think before you talk. And also before you do anything, we have this concept that is sof. We said this in Kabbalah Shabbos. Sof maseh v'machshav tchila. The end of the action is first in thought. You should think what you're doing. You should think before you do things. You should think before you say things. Things would be so much better. Right? That's why you'll find certain people be very boring. You know why they're boring? Why do they go so slow? Because they're thinking before they're saying anything. They're thinking before they do anything. Right? Which is a very big skill to do. After a person thinks what he's doing, then maybe yaschal lachshov lamahusa. He can begin to think why he did what he did. Or then, yasla hazaus es halishma v'shol shma. Then you're able to identify, was it for the sake of Hashem or not for the sake of Hashem? V'odaso tia lahavchis ma'shalol shma l'galso shma. And your job is to decrease the lo lishma and to reveal the amount of lishma that is there. Notice he keeps saying reveal and not increase, if you noticed. And that's not just by chance. Because you don't have to increase lishma, you just have to reveal it. Why? Because again, your neshama does everything lishma. The neshama inside of you would only do things lishma. It's not a question of increasing it, it's just revealing the neshama. Then the lishma would automatically be there. If the neshama came out, you'd feel close to Hashem. If you feel close to Hashem, then you're doing it for the sake of Hashem. But the shalol lishma, that has to be decreased. That you have to actively decrease it. To increase it, you only have to reveal the neshama. But he says, but this whole idea of increasing, of revealing and decreasing, it's not appropriate for most people. Since they find themselves in the earlier step, they still have to deal with the thinking. They don't think at all anything about what they're doing. They don't think about what they're doing. Lamita Shodover, the truth of the matter is, ain't ben adam shekol masav nasim lulo machshava. Really gotta be honest, there's no person who does everything without thinking. Ain't ben adam shekol masav nasim lulo machshava. And there's also nobody who does everything thinking. Also. These are extremes. L'chol echad yesh achuz masum shol masim anasim machshava, v'chuz masum shol keila nasim lulo machshava. Everyone's got a certain percentages. Some are doing things with thinking, some are doing without thinking. Just like he said last time. He said there's a certain percent of doing things lishma, a certain percent of doing shalol lishma. Before we even come to that, we have to realize a certain percentage of things we do, we're thinking, and a certain percent of things we're doing, we're not thinking. The only question is, where are you on the continuum? That's what he says. Ha'evdol bein anashim who sheyeshem ke'elo shetishim v'teisha achuz mechem yisnal mitoch machshava mispanus v'achuz shaleder machshava hu muat. The difference is there's some people who do things that 99% of their lives are done with thinking and reflection, and maybe, you know, there's a percentage that of nothing is little. K'mo sheyadua shebekelm, like we know in the city of Kelm, the yeshiva of Kelm. They were very much into thinking. Ha'is avoda lo lahaziz afilu. I'm not sure what is modern Hebrew. Ishonei ho'einayim lo machshav. Is that eyebrows? I don't know what ishonei.
Ishon is the inside of brows.
The pupil?
Yeah.
Okay. So I knew something about it. So anyway, they would work on themselves. They wouldn't even move the pupil of their eyes without thinking. Anyway, in other words, even just moving your eye. Where you're looking, they would think before they looked. Forget about think before you speak, before you think. Think before you look. I'm looking at a Gemara, I should think, should I take my eyes off the page or not? That was their, they worked on that. Next page. They had control over their pupils. They were focused. Zesug shalotam shegia lamudas asmis kavomod. That's a type of person that's reached a very high level of self-awareness. He takes to heart, he pays attention to everything he does. Wow. Try to do that. It's hard enough to try to think before you speak. They're thinking before even moving a pupil. Right? Well, how's it by most people? Achuz muat ma'od. A very small percentage of our actions are done with any focus. Most of their lives are out of habit. This is doing things robotically. So this obviously, you know, this is what the whole book is predicated on, is that to think about one's avodas Hashem means you have to spend time thinking. So before you even spend time thinking what kind of Jew you are, you got to think before everything I do, I should be thinking what I'm doing. Okay, if you're going to start doing that, you're going to get neurotic. But he's going to say, you start it a little bit at a time. Just try to think 10 seconds a day. Start with that. You know, make a time, you know. Maybe better than spending an hour making sure you don't speak Lashon Hara during this hour. It would be a much better thing. For an hour a day, I'll think before I do anything. That really would be the ultimate. If you'd think before you do anything, you for sure wouldn't speak Lashon Hara. There'd be a lot other, in other words, not only would be Lashon Hara be taken care of, all the other problems you have. You wouldn't be eating, you know, eating foods you shouldn't be eating. All these things, you would just think, why am I doing this? Remember he said once before, even if you're overeating, you should think and at least know you're overeating. Make yourself feel terrible and then go overeat. Remember he said that once? He said, think about it. At least know that what you're doing is wrong. And then say, unfortunately, I'm not a very strong Jew. So at least I've come to recognition that I'm a weak link. And then go eat it. At least you've thought before you've done it. So that's what he's saying here. Okay, now the next, it's a rough set of pages here today. The next page as well, again, it's very subtle what he's saying here. The next page. After the triangles, after the diamonds. Kamo shushkala, like we mentioned earlier, taharas hakavana shayachas hein gam balev hein b'moch. Purity of thought is applicable both in the heart and both in the mind. Yeshna taharas alev, yeshna taharas amoch. There's purity of heart and purity of mind. What are the two? Taharas alev, purity of the heart. In yona sha'odim roitzes ha'emes, floritzes ha'sheker. Purity of heart is where a person wants what's true and doesn't want what's false. Hulo roitzes dvar masurim. He doesn't want things that are forbidden. Vlo mechapes rak es tovas atzma. He's only looking for what's good for him. That is purity of thought. So again, like, what does that mean exactly? Yeah. He wants the truth and doesn't want the false. He doesn't want things that aren't allowed. Oh, and he's not searching things that are only good for him. He's not searching things that are good things. In other words, he really wants the truth. That's purity of heart. In other words, you're wanting what you want. You want only that what Hashem would want you to want. V'taras ha-machshava, what's purity of mind? When yona deos bechlal, that's the concepts of knowledge in general. V'nyonei machshava And that's the concept of active thinking throughout the entire day. That's the purity of the mind, of ideas. There's the ideas, the overall ideas, and then there's what is for me. You know, what do I personally want? Ritzonos Halev, again, it's a big subject, and he's giving very short words for this. Ritzonos Halev, Pa'oli Meitzel Kulam. The desires of the heart, that's active by everybody. Chelak Gadol Min Ritzonos Adam Argish, many of the feelings, people sense their feelings. Okay, we sense when our feelings are hurt, we sense when we're feeling good, we sense that. V'lo muda v'machshava shalo lema shekar etzlo b'leiv. But he's not aware in his mind of what's happening in his heart. You're not thinking about your feelings. You have a lot of feelings, but are you thinking about the feelings? That's the point he's saying. Do you realize how depressed you are? Do you realize how happy you are? Imkein taharas hamoach, and that's knowing factual information. Imkein taharas hamoach b'nui ha-reishis al-kol al-hakaras ha-ratzonos. So really, the purity of the mind is based, first of all, on recognizing one's desires. Ha-ramazah osababeir, a person can identify them clearly. Then, vazu ovid al-shina ha-ratzonos. Then you can work on changing what you want. Mashal lo-lishma, from the lo-lishma to the lishma. V'choshev kopam, and he thinks every time. Okay. Then, certainly there's a service that's higher than that. There's a pasuk that says, a man and an animal, Hashem should save them. What does that mean? Gemara says, these are people who are very clever and they make themselves like animals. What does that mean? They're very clever, make themselves like animals? The explanation is, Heim kol kach b'ton labarim. They totally nullify themselves before Hashem. Means I go like an just like an animal, doesn't express its opinion. It does what it's supposed to do. So the person, after he's thought, and after everything has been digested in the mind and everything, he says, at the end of the day, what do? I'm like an animal. I just do what Hashem wants me to do. I do it because Hashem wants me to do it. That's what he's saying. Shekol ma'aseim nifalim mikoach abori. Everything I do, it comes from the power of Hashem. Kigarzim biyadachotzev, like an axe in the hand of the wood chopper. Kach heim biyadabar, that's what they realize are in the hands of Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol menaneo maziz osam kol rega. It's like Hashem is moving them every moment. Of course, they are making the decision, but their decision is, I just do what Hashem wants me to do. That's why you find expressions in the Chumash where you see like Yaakov's feet got up and he went. What do you mean Yaakov's feet got up and he went? It was like, if that's what Hashem wants, that's it. There's nothing more to think about. If this is the rest of Hashem, my feet have to move. That's it. I don't have to debate the issue. So, Moshe Lorem Alovish, Kafafa Gabayat. An example is, let's say you wear a glove on your hand. Shiyad Hiyamanes, that's a Kafafa. The hand is moving the glove. Kach Adam, so is a person. Kashir Mavatel is Asim, which is Hashem. When he nullifies himself to Hashem's reality, Kivyach Lakoch Aloki, who's them, so it's the godly force that moves you to do things. Shamulo Paul Mikoch Mudas Asim. He's not working from self-awareness. Elamachmas, he's Batlas, he's Sagas Alokus. He's working from a fact that he consciously nullified himself the way Hashem wants him to act this way. So he's saying this, a level of thinking, where a person's thinking about what he wants, and then he has to start thinking to change what he wants. In other words, you've got wanting things the way they should be wanted, and then a person is not even aware of what his wantings are. And if you're not aware of what your wantings are, then you know you don't know how to change anything. So it's another level of thinking that he's talking about over here. Okay, so far he's done 4 out of the 5 steps of what Judaism is all about. You have to be aware that you're in Hashem's presence all the time. You have to work on your midos so that your midos will be like Hashem's midos. You have to love Hashem. You have to do this all for the sake of Hashem. So now he comes to the 5th and the final point that Lutzado brings out. And that is, Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos. Keeping all the mitzvos. Kimashmo. It's the simple meaning. Dehainu Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos Kulu B'chol Tidayim V'tanayim. And that means keeping all the mitzvos to all the details. Top of the next page. Kuf Nanalf. Until now, we've been talking about the 4 inner services of the Jew. But in order to have inner levels, you have to have an outer level. Without the outer level, it's like a tower that's floating in the air. It won't last. In other words, he's saying, you can be aware of Hashem, and you can emulate Hashem, get the best midos, and you can love Hashem, and you can know that what you're doing is for the sake of Hashem, but what if you don't do anything? You can't work on any of the things we talked about until you do what the Shulchan Aruch says, and that has to be first. Tzarech karka, you need some soil. You need a base. Yimeish karka, if you got ground, yelavados hakayim, then what you do will remain. Adam lo made rak sifri musar vavod of eno lo made lo gemara vlo alach of umakayim es atar b'chay yom yom. Person can learn musar svarim all day long, but if you don't open up a gemara and you don't come to the halacha and you don't fulfill the Torah on a daily basis and live the mitzvahs in the way you should live. Nimshul la sakis sheyesh bo chur lamat, you like a bag that's got a hole at the bottom. Shikomash yuchnas ba mitzad achad echad yipol mitzad sheni. Everything you put in from one side goes out the other side. Ain't ever kazeh shadam yinase lavod al pnimius belishi bana b'makbil as kodem uchenes achitzona shebekirbo. It's not possible. There's no such thing that a person tries to work on his inner service to Hashem without building parallel, or at least before that, the outer side to himself. As a maishya kli lor apnimi, the actions which are utensil to the inner light. So here's the point. Shmiras kolamitzas kulan b'chol diktukeim tlim. He's repeating the words of Litzado, keeping all the mitzvahs to all their details. With shmiras hamitzvahs bevade kolelas pratirabim. To keeping mitzvahs means you got to know a lot of details. You notice any halacha that we learn, is nothing is simple. You take the simplest halachas. You know, Shabbos is very hard. It's complicated. 39 malachas. I don't know how I can go the whole day. You know, not being machal. It's so complicated. Borer, this and that. You know, it's a lot easier. I'm just going to worry about making brachas. See how easy to make brachas. Let's look at some of the cereals on the counter over there. You know, if you make what the right bracha is on every food. You got to your mind try to figure out what's the exact bracha on a food. That itself is a whole lot. And then and the kavani you have to have when you're making a bracha. There's lots of details in everything you do. There's no end to the details of halacha. But it's one root. A person focuses his physical actions to the way Hashem wants him to do this. As the Torah and the rabbis also do. And that's what we'll continue with tomorrow. Why is it so important that I have to do the mitzvahs exactly where it's supposed to be done? He's saying, this is the earth, the soil that you're trying to work on. But if you don't have any soil, there's nothing to work on. If you're not doing anything, then what's the whole point of being a Jew? So that's what we're going to spend a lot of time on that, Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. You have to start.